Dr. Sheila Crawford. And a reminder, you can listen to this very program later in the week. Just go to shofarministries.net. Great. Okay, we're going to begin with a prayer. This program with a prayer. We're going to pray to our Father in heaven. Abba, we thank you and are grateful for this time we have to minister to your minister your word to strengthen and build up those our listeners in their faith, to make all of us stronger with our witnesses for you. As we come to you, you're called the living stone. We are called living stones, and we're being built into a spiritual house that you can inhabit. And like the spiritual house, like the temple, you fill us with your presence as we rededicate ourselves to you. Abba, we ask you to comfort those who have lost family members to the terrible fires that are occurring in the land of Israel right now. And we ask you to also remember the needs of our listeners and our assembly and those who write us and call us for their health and daily needs and even financial needs. Yes. So we can we need those, our needs met, and we can bless others as well. And we ask this in your glorious name of your Son, Yeshua, our Messiah.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, John, and Hag Hanukkah Sameach to all the listeners today. It's so good to be here, and we hope to continue doing a program at least once a month.
Yes, and our next program will be on New Year's Day. So that's going to be a change. That's Saturday at 5 p.m., right?
Yes.
Hey, now, Sheila, I got to tell you this. I saw your interview on TBN satellite station last Friday on the Praise the Lord program. And I thought it was very informing as to what this ministry is all about.
Oh, thanks for saying that, John. And I thought the interview went pretty well, too. Good questions. Unfortunately, the time did run out a little too soon, as time surely does.
Well, right. And now we just have to pray that those who did see it, hey, call the station. Ask them to have you back to teach. You know, they do wait to see the responses. And I do have that phone number where you can actually
you
call the station. Yeah, I can tell. It's 330-753-5542. And we'll mention that later in the show, too. We'll be opening the lines, phone lines later in this hour should you have any end time questions for Sheila. And that number will be 888-677-WORD, W-R-D. And I'm happy to that we can explain in detail the season that we're in right now.
Yes.
Called Hanukkah.
Yes.
So let me ask you, Sheila, is Hanukkah for Christians?
Oh, it surely is. I just wish more Christians would be able to see it, and I hope by the end of this program they will see it. But it has a huge meaning for Christians. And before I detail and show you the importance of the Feast of Hanukkah, which, by the way, began last Wednesday, let's begin first with how the menorah, the seven-branch candlestick, fits into this story of Hanukkah, since it really plays a vital role in the celebration.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, now, the detailed description can be found in the Word, Exodus 25, 31 through 40. If you guys out there want to write that down, you can read it later.
Exodus 25, 31 through 40. Gives you, and I'll read it from our text here for you. Okay. And thou shalt make a lampstand, in other words, a menorah, that's the Hebrew word, of pure gold, a beaten work, shall the lampstand be made, its shaft and its branches, its bowls, its knobs, and its flowers shall be of one piece. And six branches shall come out of the sides of it, three branches of the lampstand out of the one side, and three branches of the lampstand out of the other side. Three bowls made like unto almonds, with a knob and a flower in one branch, and three bowls made like almonds in the other branch, with a knob and a flower.
Mm.
So the six branches come out of the lampstand, and thou shalt make the seven lamps thereof, and they shall light the lamps thereof. Thus
right.
The whole menorah is to be a single piece
yes.
of hammered work made of pure gold.
Right. Now notice how specific God is. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Now the middle shaft is called the Ner Elohim, meaning lamp of God, or Shamas, meaning servant lamp.
Mm.
Okay, now that's a picture of Jesus. But every morning, the priests were to enter into the holy place to replace the used oil in this candlestick or menorah. If any lights had gone out, they would relight them immediately using the servant candle or the shamas.
Shamash.
Shamash, sorry.
Shamash. It's kind of, yeah, it sounds kind of funny, but it's Shamash.
Right, that's why I have you here, to correct me on that. Which, by the way, miraculously, always stayed lit. Now, so the servant candle, the one in the middle, was actually always lit miraculously, even if it did run out of oil.
Why is it called the servant candle, by the way?
Well, it's a picture of Jesus, of course, being the light.
And it's the one that lights, and it's like Jesus lighting our little lamps.
Yes, and we're going to talk about that.
Okay, great.
These seven lampstands were designed by God himself and has never been polluted. I thought this was interesting.
Oh.
You know, sometimes pagans have gotten involved and have taken some of our symbols. Like,
I've seen the cross used in heavy metal things. I've seen the Star of David has been put as called a cult symbol sometimes.
Right.
Right,
but not the menorah.
Yeah, the menorah has never gotten into that group of pagan symbols.
And since I've restudied this now for this program, I think I'm going to wear my menorah more. I have a chain with a menorah on it.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, in Revelation 1, we see Jesus standing in the midst of seven golden lampstands.
And those are seven golden menorahs, aren't they?
Well, in verse 20, he explains that this menorah is a type of the church.
Hmm.
Which, by the way, we also see at the end of the church age, after chapter 3, after the church age, we see this menorah now in heaven in chapter 4, before the seals are opened, which begins the 7 years of tribulation in chapter 6.
Wow. So in the book Revelation, and here's another thing. You can study this, what we say about Revelation, and that study is archived, and it's on the website somewhere, I'm sure, I hope. But yes, this is so cool. The lampstand is in heaven the next time you hear the lampstand.
That's right. And again, in chapter 1, verse 20, he explains that it represents the church.
Wow.
And we see that lampstand in the heaven.
Are you going? Are you going with us tonight? Are you going to go? When are we going to go for the rapture? that's a great rapture verse.
Soon, I hope.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's on my list. You know, I have two pages of
two
rapture
pages.
List.
Not one or rapture two. Two scripture. Pages of rapture.
Yes, I do. And that's scripture. One of them.
That's one of them.
So, amen. Hallelujah. Yeah. Did you know also that Israel's coat of arms seal includes the menorah surrounded by two olive branches based on the vision of Zechariah 4, and we know, John, what is olive tree a type of?
The olive tree is Eitz Zayit in Hebrew, and also we read about it in Romans 11. Paul's telling us that we, when we become believers, when we get saved, we are grafted into the olive tree, and the olive tree is
Judaism and the
Hebrew people. We're grafted in.
I just think it's amazing that Israel's coat of arms would include this menorah and the olive tree around it, because they don't, I don't think, get the fact that the menorah represents the church because they don't read the New Testament.
Right.
But yet they use that, and I know they have their other reasons, I'm sure, but to me, that definitely says that we need the Jewish roots in order to really be effective in knowing and knowledge in the Bible and be able to understand it.
Well, I got to tell you, Sheila, back in 1948 when they were hammering out what the state of Israel should look like and how their government should run and what they should use for a national symbol, the menorah came very close to being chosen over the Star of David.
Really?
Yes, it did. Yes, it
did.
Came very close.
Okay, so now Christians run out there and get your menorahs.
So,
anyway... Anyway, what we're going to talk about tonight is Hanukkah, and when you find out that Hanukkah actually has eight branches in one servant candle.
Yeah, that Hanukkah candlestick has eight.
Okay, we're going to talk about that.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, but anyway, let's go back to the menorah. It has seven candles representing the prophetic application of the seven churches, because when taken in order, remember, gives the historic application of the church age.
Exactly, right. See, you can see that program. on the seven churches, that teaching, that would be on the date July 24th, 7/24/2010.
Yeah, it might go a couple of weeks. I can't remember for
sure.
Yeah,
we did teach on that, and it's really, really, it's an eye-opener.
You know, I just want to encourage people to go to that webpage.
Shofarministries.net.
Right, and go to Radio Podcast. Every show is archived with the title of each show. So anything you want to learn, we've just about covered everything in 2 years.
That's right. We've tried.
So the menorah represents how the church, because of Jesus, is the light of the world.
Amen, sister.
Amen. So basically out there, people, is your light shining.
Mm.
Light is meant to be shared, not hidden under a bushel or under a bed, as it talks about in Mark 4.
I think Jesus said that himself, didn't he? Sheila, don't you agree that the bushel represents, or could represent, the cares of this life?
Yeah.
And they really consume you. And you know, and once you get consumed with the cares of your life, what happens to your light?
It gets dim
and sometimes disappears, doesn't
absolutely,
it?
Absolutely, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I think it's interesting because remember the Proverbs 31, the virtuous woman?
Yes.
It says, whose candles mm-hmm. goeth not out by night.
Mm-hmm.
So she keeps her candle lit all the time. Jesus also said in Revelation 2:5 to the first church at Ephesus, okay, she had lost her first love.
Mm-hmm.
And he said to repent, or he would remove their candlestick out of its place.
Oh.
See, and now it all comes into focus. It's okay, he's looking at the menorah as being a picture of the church.
Church, yeah.
By the way, Hanukkah was not only celebrated in Jesus' day, it's also recorded in John 10:22 that Jesus was in the temple during the Feast of Dedication. And, of course, the word dedication in Hebrew is Hanukkah.
Hanukkah. So Jesus was... went to the temple or went to Jerusalem on Hanukkah. Yeah.
That's right. And it's interesting because it says he was in the temple during the Feast of Dedication and it was in winter.
Oh, now that's another clue that it's...
the Lesser Feast of Lights.
Oh, okay.
Give that to you. Because the Greater Feast of Lights is in the fall.
That's right. And that's called the Feast of Tabernacles.
Right. But they're both called the Feast of Lights.
They both called the Feast of Light. Now, we did a teaching on that, and just to remind you, that's archived on our website, too, and it's the program dated October 3rd and 9th of 2009.
Yeah, got that. Right in there.
It's in there, right. Now, Sheila, can you give us a little bit of the history leading up to the rededication of the temple?
Yes, I can.
Oh, okay, great.
Thank you for asking. There have been six world empires, and I'll bet you can tell me what they are.
Well, I'd be in trouble if I couldn't, because I've learned this by attending Shofar Assembly out in Burton.
Every single year we do this.
But the first one, of course, is Egypt, and then Assyria, Babylon, and then Medo-Persia, Greece, and finally Rome.
Very good, John. So at the close of the Old Testament period, what empire was ruling?
Medes and the Persians.
Very good.
Okay.
And then who were they taken over by again?
They were taken over by the Greek kingdom, and specifically a young fellow called Alexander the Great.
Yes.
Yes.
And that was in about 336 B.C.
Mm-hmm.
He was very smart. He was trained by Aristotle from the age of 13, became very wise, conquering the entire empire, known empire at that time, by the age of 21. He had reshaped the world before dying just 13 years later from a fever at age 33, and that would have been around 323 B.C.
Yes.
And I heard that he was probably an alcoholic, too.
Now, isn't it amazing how one man can change the entire world?
Yes, and then he started drinking because he didn't have nothing else to do.
I know.
You know, what could he conquer? That's so sad.
And I also heard, too, that he must have, if they had IQ tests back there, he'd be in the 180s, 190s,
absolutely,
something like that. He was very, very smart, very wise
for
his age.
So here's one of the reasons why I believe that the Bible has to be written by God is because of all the prophecies that are given in the Bible that came true. In Daniel 11, if you read that carefully, you've got the description of all the kings in that from that time period to the T as to how they died, who followed them, and Alexander the Great is no different.
Hmm.
Because in verse 4 of Daniel 11, 15 years after Alexander died, the Grecian Empire actually had to be divided among his four generals. And the reason for that is because he had no heirs.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what's interesting is that he had no heirs because they were all murdered. And the Bible said, written hundreds of years before this time, said that this particular person would have no heirs and they would all be murdered. I don't know if they said murdered, but certainly there'd be no heirs. And that's exactly what happened. So his empire had to be divided into four divisions amongst his four generals.
Now, according to the history of that time, were there four?
There were.
Mm-hmm.
Northeast, south, and west.
That's right.
Very simple. But what we're talking about tonight is the eastern area.
Okay.
And that, of course, included Israel, Lebanon, which is right up to the north, Syria, which would be over to the east.
Northeast, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then Babylon also, under the leadership of the Seleucids. Some say Seleucids, whatever way you want to,
whatever way you want to
pronounce it. But they were from Syria. And this now would have been before Christ came on the scene, about the year either between 100 and maybe 65 BC.
I think it's just Seleucids is just another way of saying Greeks.
But they were mostly from Syria.
But they were mostly from Syria. Yeah. But their culture and the Greek culture, one and the same.
Mm-hmm, okay. Mm-hmm. So then the Romans, of course, came along and they finished conquering all the divisions, all four divisions. And they actually ruled when Jesus was born at the turn of the century.
So the whole world changed once again.
Right.
Yep.
So let's back up now a little bit, back to Seleucus again. There was a king called Seleucus the IV. He died, but once again, there you got the Bible. Daniel 11:20 predicted that he would not die in battle. Isn't that interesting? He did not die in battle.
He did not die in battle. How did he die then? Well, actually, he was poisoned,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, you knew that.
By his own trusted minister.
Yes, he was.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the fifth son of this dynasty in 175 B.C. was the man called Emperor Antiochus the IV, also known as...
Epiphanes.
Thank you.
Which meant God manifest.
Which he himself chose.
He chose that name himself.
Yeah,
now,
he
that's,
did.
Yeah, humble guy.
Yeah, arrogant.
He's actually arrogant, yes.
Later, he became known as Epimetheus, which means madman, in response to his cruelty.
Wow.
He returned to Syria. Well, here's an interesting point. He returned to Syria from his home in Rome. He actually lived in Rome. He was originally taken hostage by the Romans as a child and grew up in the Roman Empire.
Hmm.
But when he heard of his father's assassination, he went back to Syria.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Now, that's really interesting because we always say the Antichrist is, or Antiochus Epiphanes is a type of the Antichrist. And they say, well, he was Syrian, so therefore the Antichrist has to come from that area. When Daniel actually says he's going to come from the old Roman Empire, the same area.
Mm-hmm.
And isn't it interesting that Antiochus Epiphanes actually grew up in Rome?
Yes.
I just think that's amazing.
Yes, that is.
Okay.
That is.
But this guy, he was very charismatic. He came in very peacefully. He had much flattery. He even gave a lot of money, paid back all the taxes of Syria and the surrounding Roman provinces that actually were beginning to gain power now. But now others were vying for the rulership, especially...
Heliodorus. He poisoned his father, right?
Yes, he did. He poisoned his father, which is why he left Rome and went back to Syria.
Mm-hmm.
And he did it because he wanted to take over. But he didn't expect Antiochus to come back from Rome, okay, which he did. But they liked him. They liked his style. And then he even got friendly with the high priest of Israel. His name was Jason, and made a deal with him. Of course, he only broke it a few years later, which we know the Antichrist will do that too. So the history does repeat itself.
Mm-hmm.
Might be a different person, different times, but we see the history over and over again. Typology is another word for that.
Yes.
But Jason's army fought hard to recapture, and they did, but it made Antiochus Epiphanes so angry that in 169 BC he went on a rampage, and slew about 40,000 Jews and sold many into slavery.
That's right, and he actually boiled swine's flesh and sprinkled its broth throughout the temple.
He did.
And he stole the sacred vessels of the temple, and he stopped their worship and offered swine on the altar.
He did.
Among the things that he did. Those are some of
he
the
did.
Worst. Yeah.
And we're going to take a quick break here, and when we come back, we're going to finish the story of Hanukkah and what happened. And
so stay with us. We got, let's see what we got to do here. Oh, yeah, lines will open up the lines. And if you have a question, particularly on what we're talking about, okay, the number is 888-677-WORD. That's 888-677-9673. Since we cover a big area on the radio, we would like to visit you at your church for a change, for an evening of messianic worship and a timely message.
We do. We want to.
We'd like to do that. So ask your pastor. Ask him to give us a call. The number is 440-834-9006. Any and all donations are extremely important to this vital to this Hebraic Roots ministry. This is the next move of God in the church, is the church learning and recapturing its lost Hebraic roots.
Amen.
Please consider being a seed partner in this endeavor. You can use PayPal on the website, or you can send your gift directly to Shofar Ministries, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. Now, all donations will automatically put you on the monthly newsletter list, and you'll get, and it's just chock full of gold nuggets and current events of these last days here in Israel. And why not check out the webpage? The newsletters are all archived there, and previous radio shows as well, as we said that before. And there's DVD teachings, and they're available as well. Once again, those numbers for your end time question is 888-677-WORD-9673. Do you have anything to add to that?
Yes. Why don't we give that phone number again of the TBN station out of Akron?
Yes. And you might want to call and say, hey, you know, we'd like to see more of this kind of program.
Well, especially if you were able to see it. I did advertise that I would be on, so I don't know how many out there were able to catch it. But
we hope a lot of you did. That number is 330-753-5542. So,
okay, great.
Praise God. Yeah. Well, that was another opportunity to speak more about Hebrew roots over the television, media of television. So that's great.
Yes, it was. It was really great. So basically, when we come back, we're going to finish talking about the Hanukkah story.
Yes.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
And we're going to talk about how he made his own face on the statue of Zeus.
This Antiochus Epiphanes, right?
That's right. And Antiochus.
Antiochus Epiphanes, the madman, they called him, right?
That's right. And then we're going to look at how important that this time of Hanukkah relates to the Christian. And, you know, not too many people are seeing it or teaching on it. And so it's going to be exciting.
And that's sad because it has a lot of meaning for us.
Oh, my gosh. I can't wait to tell you all about it. So if you're listening, call somebody up and tell them to turn us on so they can hear it.
There you go.
Okay. We'll be right back.
After a short break.
And a song, a great song.
Once said, I hear and I forget. I see and I remember. I experience and I understand. These words, simple yet profound, reveal a basic truth, that words alone are never enough. In order to make an impact, you need something more substantial. You need a visual, a reference point, an experience. This is Ron Trzynski, and at the Original Mattress Factory, we strive to give you something more, to provide an experience. We educate our customers about our products and offer factory tours so that everyone may see firsthand the quality that goes into our products. We help you understand what sets us apart, from our two-sided mattresses and our real working box springs to our friendly and knowledgeable sales associates, ready to answer every question you ever had about mattresses. We dedicate ourselves to being more than ordinary because you deserve something extraordinary. So visit our showroom and experience more than just a mattress store. Experience an original. The Original Mattress Factory, 4930 State Road, right at the 480 ramp.
Here's a scary thought. To get into the same college you went to, your child may need a math score 200 points higher than what you scored on your college entry exam. The good news is that virtually any child can be great at math with the right instruction. And behind every Mathnasium Learning Center, there's a Mathnasium franchisee with the know-how to train your child to become a mathlete. Mathnasium franchisees are incredibly accomplished. There's a reason Mathnasium Learning Centers has zoomed to more than 200 locations worldwide, earning its top global franchisor ranking by Entrepreneur Magazine. Mathnasium Mathnasium franchisees open Mathnasium centers because they care about kids and they love helping them succeed and they want to teach your child. To learn more about Mathnasium for your child, go to Mathnasium.com or you can request information by calling 800-490-1556. Or to request information about opening a Mathnasium franchise, you can call that same number, 800-490-1556. Call now while franchise territories are still available. That's 800-490-1556, 800-490-1556, or go to Mathnasium.com.
Just being out in the woods.
I like to camp.
Hiking, fishing.
I love the trees in our backyard.
But there's this bug that's killing the trees.
The emerald ash borer beetle. It lives in firewood.
You move firewood, you spread the beetle.
And our state is on the front lines.
I promise not to move firewood.
I promise to burn it where I buy it.
I promise.
Will you?
Learn more and promise you won't move firewood at stopthebeetle.info. A message from the USDA.
WHKW Cleveland, WHKC Warren, your flagship station for Lake Erie Monsters hockey is AM 1220 Cleveland.
Now like a monster.
America's best Bible teachers are right here, including Chuck Swindoll with Insight for Living. Weekday mornings at 6:30 on AM 1220 The Word. AM 1220 The Word, with programming to build your family and faith.
Why? Wow.
Great to be back. How'd you like that guitar solo at the end of this? You're listening to the Shofar Ministries Hour. That was a good song by Greg DiPaolo, a friend of ours and a supporter of this ministry. It's called Tell Me Why.
Yes.
And Greg has recently gotten born again, as they say.
Not
saved,
too long ago.
A recent conversion. Right. And he just can't wait to tell the world about his Savior, and he's doing a great job with doing it musically, I think.
That's right, and he's a local boy, so if you want his phone number, give me a call, I'll give it to you.
Yeah, we'll give it to you. You might want to play at your church.
That's it.
Yes. Well, let's see, where were we?
Well, I'm going to continue on with my little story here about Hanukkah and the season that we're in right now. And,
I think we left with why is Christians need to be paying attention to this Hanukkah thing, right?
That's right. All right, well, we started talking about Antiochus Epiphanes, this type of the Antichrist to come. And we left off with in about 167 B.C., he actually made the abomination when he made his own face on the statue of Zeus, placed it in the temple of Israel, and called himself God, demanding that everyone worship him, and he killed any Jew who was caught reading the Torah or keeping any of the laws, including circumcision.
Yeah, and he even forced them to eat pork.
He did.
Yes.
And unfortunately, many Jews succumbed and assimilated into the Greek culture to escape death. And I'm sorry to say that some even had to worship the idol. Yet a remnant, God always has a remnant.
Yes.
A remnant held strong, for which they underwent great torment.
Yes.
These included whippings that would actually tear their bodies to pieces, and much more horrendous torture.
Yes, and you know, according to the first century historian Josephus, you can read more about this. Of course, it's in the book of Maccabees 1 and 2.
Mm-hmm.
Great history books.
In the Apocrypha.
In the Apocrypha.
That's right.
And study it. It is really, it's amazing.
It is amazing. Finally, the high priest, his name was Mattathias, had five sons from the family of Heshmon. They actually really rebelled, and they started the first war of religious freedom, a heroic revolt, and they killed soldiers in Modin, even killing a Jew, because they caught him worshiping at this pagan statue, and they even killed the emperor's commissioner who was overseeing the whole thing.
That's right. The emperors or the these commissioners would go to each town and try to convince the Jews to become pagans, and the first thing that they established, I'm just going to digress a little bit, in these towns was that they built a gymnasium. They encouraged sports. They encouraged different kinds of learning. So it sounds like, you know, they built the gym. That was the first thing. I thought that was kind of odd.
Yeah.
And if you know anything about the Greek culture, they did compete in many games.
Bodies were very important.
Bodies were very important. They didn't wear much clothes.
Yeah. Well, they don't do that today.
Yeah, well, they don't do that. Okay. This was did things that were really contrary to Judaism. Okay. And the Jews were forced to do this, but they felt that Jews should have gone to their death, actually. The Maccabees felt that they were very, very zealous, and they thought that you should go to your death before worshiping a false god.
Yes.
Now, I know people are going to call in this hour with that number, 888-677-WORD.
Yes.
And they're going
they
probably are. And I'm going to ask, before they get a question, I got to ask you something. Weren't the Maccabeans of the tribe of Judah?
Yes.
Okay. Isn't that interesting?
And his the leader's name was Judah.
Yeah. Okay.
And so what does Judah's name mean?
Judah means praise.
It means hammer.
Or, no, Maccabee means hammer.
Oh, okay.
Judah means praise.
Okay, you're right.
But the tribe of Judah is where the power is in the...
Thank you for that correction.
Oh, no problem. But that's the tribe that our Savior came from.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right. And, of course, we know that he's going to take care of the Antichrist.
Yes, we do. You talk about history repeating itself.
Isn't that just something, you know?
You talk about history repeating itself.
Uh-huh. But anyway, this family, they ended up fleeing up to the hill country and tried to get people to join them so that they could become guerrilla fighters, and some did. And Mattathias, who was the father, who was very old by this time, he actually died in the first year of this revolt, but he was succeeded by his son Judah, known as the Maccabee, which you just said means hammer.
Yes.
Okay, great. Antiochus's army now you have to remember, was considered the mightiest in the world at that time. And so this fight was a long and a hard battle, and it was actually called the Maccabean Revolt.
Mm-hmm.
But finally, after about 3.5 years and 4 major battles, the Maccabees were victorious because I'm sure God's help there.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, they ousted the evil King Antiochus Epiphanes and his Seleucid army, and Antiochus soon became insane, and then he died.
Yeah.
Now, of course, the Jews were elated about this. But this miraculous victory is not the real reason for Hanukkah. And you would think it would be, but it's
part of
it.
Well, it is part of it. It's part of it, but what there really was something else that happened that is just totally amazing.
That's right, because when they went into the temple, their joy, of course, soon became very sad, and they turned to bitterness because they saw the temple's abomination, where they, pigs had been sacrificed.
Yes, has been desecrated. Pig sacrificed to Greek gods, and the Greek gods were actually erected a statue of Zeus.
Mm-hmm.
You name it.
Mm-hmm. Well, they just,
they got to work cleaning it out, didn't they?
That's right. Finally,
yes.
On the 25th of Kislev, which on our calendar would usually be in December,
mm-hmm.
in about 165 B.C., the temple had been cleansed and ready to be rededicated. However, when it came time to light this 7-branched menorah that we talked about in the first half of this program, how it had to
be lit all the time. Like eternal flame there.
That's right. Mm-hmm. They could only find, though, like one small flask of undefiled oil, enough that they knew would only last for one day. Now, if you want to read about the special consecrated oil, you can go to Exodus 27. It'll explain it to you. But basically, it had to be hand-beaten, pressed olives without the use of heat. Cold-pressed.
Cold-pressed.
I still buy cold-pressed olive oil today.
I know you do. I borrowed some today.
But it would take at least a week to process. So they're thinking, oh, my gosh, we only have enough oil. It's going to burn out because we don't have any more made. But lo and behold.
That didn't happen.
The lighted menorah, which should have only stayed lit for one day, miraculously stayed lit for 8 days until they finished the processing to get more. Now, that's the miracle. Okay,
mm-hmm.
It's called the miracle of Hanukkah. And it's in memory of that miracle and the rededication of the temple that Jews everywhere today light another candle each night of Hanukkah on now a 9-branched candlestick holder every sundown beginning in the evening of Kislev 24, which was December 1st, last Wednesday,
uh-huh.
on our calendar. So now, John, do you see the difference between the 7-branched menorah that
yes.
had to stay lit at all times in the temple, but during Hanukkah, why they have an 8-branched candlestick with still the one in the middle, which is your servant candle?
Yeah, the Shamash candle.
To light the 8-branched.
Okay, so that's why you'll see on a Hanukkah menorah, which, by the way, the technical term for it is a Hanukkiah.
Okay.
But that's why you will see 9 lights on it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the menorah in the temple, you would have seen 7, and the middle one being the Shamash. They're a little bit different. But
a little bit different.
To commemorate that event of that miracle, that how God fought for them.
Mm-hmm.
And help them win their battle against the oppressive army that had occupied them, and also that they had rededicated themselves, not just the temple, but they had rededicated themselves to serving God a little more seriously.
Yes, they did.
Yes.
Yes, they did. And, of course, we should look at the spiritual application of that for our
for our own
also.
Selves. This, we can always, we need to rededicate ourselves. I know this week I feel like I rededicated my life too.
We should do it every day.
Well, we should do it every day.
repent.
Repent. I want to, rededicate maybe not your whole life, but maybe what you started doing, God called you to do, and
absolutely.
Maybe you've gotten a little off track from that, and it's time to cleanse that temple.
That's
get
right.
Get rid of some of those.
But don't forget now,
yeah.
We're going to talk about Hanukkah and the Christians, so I've got a lot more here.
Okay. Okay, yes.
You know, on previous programs.
Oh, yeah, and those are all archived on our website. Okay?
We have talked in detail how we can know that Jesus wasn't really born in the winter months,
mm-hmm.
but rather on the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles, which is called the Greater Feast of Lights, and it's in the fall. Now, again, go to my webpage. I'm going to say 100 times here if you really want to get the detailed teaching on this, because we only have an hour. I can't do it again.
Mm-hmm.
But we come to the conclusion, and I'm absolutely sure of it now, that Jesus was born on the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles, okay, on a full moon, by the way. And Jesus called himself again the light.
That's right. I am the light of the world, he said.
Right. So now let's back up. There's seven feasts
mm-hmm.
that God ordained in Leviticus.
Right.
And one of them is called the Greater Feast of Lights. That's when I believe Jesus was born. However, there's also two other smaller feasts. One of them is Hanukkah. The other one is Purim. But Hanukkah is called the Lesser Feast of Lights, and it's to rededicate or remember what we just talked about, how the oil stayed lit in the temple for 8 days.
Right.
When
okay.
it should have gone out. So that was the miracle of Hanukkah. So now, if you know that Jesus was born on the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles, that's actually Tishri 15.
Mm-hmm. Okay? And you can know that.
You can know that.
Mm-hmm.
And we spelled it out.
Yeah.
Because when Zechariah was in the temple and found out when John the Baptist.
Yeah, that's all archived.
It's all on there, so
yes, yeah.
We can figure it out. It's not that difficult, actually. So, the first day of the Feast of the Greater Feast of Lights, or Feast of Tabernacles, is Tishri 15.
Okay.
Now, if you count backwards on the Jewish calendar, 280 days, which is the normal time of gestation for a woman to carry a child.
Works out to what, 9 months or something like that?
Yes.
Okay.
You come to the eighth day of Hanukkah. Now, I actually took a Jewish calendar.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this was back in 2001.
I remember that, yes.
And I counted personally each day so I couldn't make a mistake. And I counted backwards 280 days. And I can't tell you what came over me when I realized that I came to the eighth day of Hanukkah. I can't, John, you would have to be there. I was just amazed.
Did you jump up and shout?
Yes.
I can see you doing that. That's
and I remember calling you, I think.
I think you did. And that's part of the thing when you study God's Word and, mm-hmm. and really study it, not just read it, but get in there and study and look up things.
Right.
God's going to show you stuff like
yes,
that.
Yes, he does. So doesn't it make sense if he was born on the Greater Feast of Lights, because he's the light of the world, and you count back 280 days, you come to the eighth day of Hanukkah. This is the Lesser Feast of Lights.
Mm-hmm.
So he was incarnated
on
the eighth day of Hanukkah
and
born 280 days later on the Feast of Tabernacles, the Greater Feast of Lights. It just makes total sense. That's exactly what God would do.
Yes.
Okay, knowing God, even 1%, which is really all we can ever really know probably, but it makes total sense to me now that I know it, that it was on this day that the Holy Spirit did come upon Mary and she became pregnant with Jesus, incarnated on the eighth day of the Feast of Lights. And born on the first day of the Greater Feast of Lights.
Tabernacles.
Now, what number is Jesus?
Well, his number would be 8,
his
right?
His number is 8, because mm-hmm. if you even look at the number 8, you see it's a sign of infinity,
well,
eternity.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. There's no ending.
Yeah.
Okay? And when you take all his names, and he's got bunches of them, okay?
Oh, you mean the names that he's mentioned up in the Bible, correct?
Yes, Old and New Testament. Well, not so much Old Testament, because they didn't know. But all his names, you know, Emmanuel, Jesus, you know, is all evenly divisible by the number 8.
That is something.
It is. It's pretty amazing. But anyway, getting back to this. Now, he was born in a sukkah.
Which is tabernacles, a tabernacle.
Yes, because they mm-hmm. had to have them during this time. But it's also a place where animals would also feed. Now, we know this because of Genesis 33:17. It talks about it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so yeah, there would be animals there, you know.
And isn't that exactly how it would be done, don't you think?
Yes. God is awesome. He's so exact. And since Jesus is the light, it's the perfect fit.
He's the light of the world, and he's the perfect fit. Now, remember, if you have Jesus in your heart every day, can be Christmas for you, can be Hanukkah for you.
It's
every day.
You know, so maybe December isn't the actual time for his birth.
Mm-hmm.
But his incarnation is even a bigger miracle, wouldn't you say, John?
I think so, too. I think it is.
And look how everyone uses lights at Christmas time, and their hearts are more tender to spiritual matters. They really are.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's God's plan, too. But Jesus is the light that hung on a tree for you and me. So share this information with others, and don't get hung up about, you know, having a Christmas tree. Oh, that's pagan and we shouldn't have it.
Yeah.
Steal it back from the enemy.
There you go.
You know, that's the tree that is lights all over it representing Jesus who died for me on a tree, and that's how I'm looking at it.
Right.
And then use the information that you have and go and talk to others about Jesus during this month, especially.
Yes. And it's a nice way to lead into telling them about how Hanukkah fits in.
Absolutely.
With the birth of Jesus.
Yes. I just wish more would.
It's better to go that way than to tell them that Christmas has its roots in paganism,
right.
which isn't exactly true, but I do believe it was a holiday made up.
Why? Because the enemy takes everything and perverts it anyway.
I think its original idea was to compete or to rival the pagan holiday that mm-hmm. took place on the in the winter solstice. So it had good intentions, but there's no history, there's no depth to Christmas. But in Hanukkah, you can see that here's the incarnation, or the inception, or what do they call it?
Incarnation
yeah. of our Lord and Savior, on the eighth day,
mm-hmm.
and
I know it just fits.
It just
so
fits.
He was also incarnated. On the eighth day of Hanukkah would always fall on a new moon.
Wow. So, and then, of course, how does the full moon fit into that? Because we were talking.
Well, that's when he would have been born.
Oh, and then he's born on a full moon. Okay.
Right. And there's a lot of spiritual significance to that, too. When we become born again, it's like
a new moon.
New moon
yeah,
and then
born again,
as
actually.
As we grow, we become a full moon because we get light from.
That's right. That's right.
We've talked about that before. So anyway, is your light showing out there? Do you brighten up a room when you enter? The world is getting darker, and I pray it is not because the Christians' lights are getting dim. And I say that all the time, but, you know, it's a question in my mind. Every day is the kingdom of God inside of you. So be sure your light shines all the time.
Well, how can you be sure that your light shines all the time?
Well, I pray that you will use this story of Hanukkah to open the door to conversation, again, that will lead to telling others about Christ and how they need Christ. I mean, gosh, I know that there's an eternity. I know that I don't want to go to that other very hot place. And there's a world of people out there going there and they don't even know it. Please. Get into your word so that you get the power that you need to witness. And then take some of these stories that we tell here when we're on the radio and use them, because a lot of people just don't understand what's going on.
That's true.
And then ask God to put that someone in your path and then be obedient.
And be obedient.
That's right.
And be expecting, too, expecting that person to arrive at your path.
Or do you know a Christian that maybe you see their light going out?
Yes.
You know, go up to them, be blunt, and say, I detect your light is getting dim.
Well, that's a nice way of putting it.
Let me help you.
Let me help you, yeah.
You know, this is a special, special time of the year. You know, and again, even you go into stores, and during the rest of the year you hear this rock music and all this kind of stuff that just jumbles your mind.
Right.
But it is a little different during Christmas time. You will hear a little more Christmas songs.
Yes.
And maybe they're, you know, jingle bell type stuff. But still, I believe God does help people's hearts during this time to be more sensitive.
Right.
And so we need to conquer the moment.
Yes. Seize the moment.
Steve, that's it. Thank you very
much.
There you
go. I'm sure Alexander the Great might have said something like that. But do you think? Seize that moment, right?
Yes. And we are running out of time. We only have a few more minutes left. But I just hope that this lesson today will just encourage you and spark you and want to help you to desire to learn more of the Hebraic mm-hmm. roots. Because there's so many good details in there that will help you to really desire to be in the Word to learn more. That's the whole thing.
Okay, now if you've never made Jesus Lord of your whole life, or maybe you're concerned, you might be one of those who've only had a head knowledge of him and not really a heart conviction, all you have to do is listen. Get on your knees right now. Repent. Particularly those sins which seem to be lingering in your life, or the ones that are right in the front of your mind that really bother you. And then commit or recommit, rededicate your body and your soul and your spirit to Yeshua, the Messiah of all. But still, it's your choice to choose him, thereby making it your decision where you want to spend eternity, like Sheila said.
That's
you know,
right. It's your
I'd
choice.
Rather be in the I'd rather be in the good place than the bad place, remember? Okay, remember God sends no one to hell. You decide yourself where you will go when you die.
That's right.
So don't let that happen. Make that decision now, because the soul never dies, and it has to go somewhere, and there's only two places.
That's right. There is only two places, and again,
it's with God or it's with the
that's why we're
unpleasant
here,
guy. Right.
Is to decide where we want to spend eternity. That's why we were created.
That's right.
And then to find that niche with God and know it.
Well, that has to be the truth, because God created a whole earth and a garden and set man in it knowing, because he's omniscient, knowing that they would sin and fall, but he did it anyway because he wanted to find out what they would choose, if they would choose right from wrong, and he still wants you to choose.
That's right. That's
make a
right,
decision
absolutely.
For him tonight, so, during Hanukkah, before Christmas.
That's right. Study while you can, for the days are coming, says the Lord, when he will send a famine through the land. And it's not a famine just of food or thirst of water, but a famine of hearing the words of the Lord. Amos 8:11 tells us this. And I don't know, I see people aren't studying like they should. And,
that's right.
You know,
and putting other things before the study of the Bible. And I'll tell you, the reason why you're asking me, why are you so like, you're like animated tonight? And
mm-hmm.
it's because
excited.
I've been really rejuvenated by a great Bible study my wife and I had the other night.
Good. Amen to that. And you know what Hosea 6:6 says?
It's Hosea 6:6. This is a dynamite verse. For God says, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings.
Amen. So we're going to have to say goodbye. Remember,
okay.
We're going to be back on January 1st.
Mm-hmm.
On New Year's Day, so I hope you'll
glad
join
you
us
mentioned
at
that.
5 o'clock. So.
Yes, January 1st. Okay. If you have a question or you'd like to speak, like us to speak at your church or group, just give us an email at sheila@shofarministries.net. And now we're going to leave you with the Aaronic blessing. Yevrechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha, Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'chunecha. Adonai panav elecha ve'yasem lecha shalom.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Shalom.
Shalom. Join us next time, New Year's Day, January 1st, 5 p.m. Don't forget.
Sha'alu shalom, Jerusalem. Pray
for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her shall, not maybe, prosper.
Psalm 122:6.
Thanks for spending your hour with Sheila Crawford and the Shofar Ministries broadcast on AM 1220 The Word. If you would like to help keep the show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click on the donate button on the right-hand side of the screen, and it'll take you to PayPal's secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments you have about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, sheila@shofarministries.net. That's sheila@shofarministries.net. Please join us next Saturday at 1 p.m. for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word.